with maybe a reflection on the importance of our decision tonight, and followed by the pledge. Please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I think everyone is here except Mr. Noel, who hopefully will arrive shortly. I just wanted to mention that we only have one candidate. And according to our solicitor, not implying anything here, we do not have to approve, if only one candidate comes through, we do not have to approve that candidate. Okay? We could, if we chose to, and again, no implication. Okay, if we chose to, a majority of the board could vote no, and we would just go back to the drawing board and extend the process, okay? Also, in the past, when we've gone through this, it was important to follow the script on the questions because there was always more than one candidate, and you had to be fair to all the candidates. So tonight, we're not constrained by that. So if you want to press for clarification, or ask a backup question, or even change the question. If there's something you'd rather ask them than what's been assigned for you, go for it. Okay, so we should get as much information as we feel is necessary. So, any questions about the process? We'll go through the questions. I think there's one for each board member, and then we'll ask for any public comment, and then we'll deliberate and go around and let each person say what they want to say. And once that's done, Lisa will call the roll, and we'll vote yes or no on the candidate. Okay? So, good? Good to go? Want to bring Mr. Weingart in? Have a seat, relax.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for your interest in serving on the school board.
Thanks for having me.
Tonight's process is a little, it's required, the nature of the process is mandated. Okay, but I think there's four of us that have one, two, three, four. Five that have gone through this process. Okay.
Some of us unsuccessful.
I think it's
congratulations on the second try.
Just wanted to put that out.
Yeah. It was easier to run in the election than it was to go through this. No. But thank you. And we're just going to ask a few questions. Okay. Each board member is going to ask one question. Just answer it honestly and as directly as you can. And then after that, we'll ask the public if there's any comments that they'd like to make. Then we'll go through a process of deliberation. We'll just go around and each board member will say whatever they care to say, and then we'll vote. Okay? And that's. Any questions about the process?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, I'll start off with the first question. Why are you interested in serving on the school board?
Well, I became unemployed last June. I need a job that's very easy and well-paid, so that's why.
Yeah.
Very seriously, I have been blessed by God to have an absolutely wonderful wife, two great children, and a fantastic career. And I've worked 35 years in education, as some of you know. I started outside of Richmond, Virginia, went to Susquehanna for about 12 years here. My children, who are fantastic, great children, they are very successful, and they were light years ahead of their contemporaries when they went to college. This is a great district, but my wife and I first moved to York, we didn't have a family, but we bought a house in suburban, and when we decided it was time to have a family, we looked in the districts, and this is where we bought our house, and for good reason, even though I was teaching in Southern, my children were in the school system. I love this district, I think it's a fantastic district, and I think that I have something to bring to the table to, from an education point of view, for a district that I know and love. That's what I'm here.
Good answer, thank you. Dr. Dyer.
Yes, and thank you for your interest in the position.
Thank you.
What quality, skills, and experience would you bring to the board?
An educational understanding. I having worked again in education for 35 years, in a variety of tasks, not just teaching, but having been grade level chairperson, running field trips, running clubs, organizations. I feel that I have a very diverse background in a variety of aspects of education that I'm not saying by any means an expert, but at least some experience that I could bring some thoughts or views to the board. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Mr. Wingard, how are you tonight?
Good, Mr. Wingard, I'm looking for my dad. I'm doing very well, you?
Just fine, thanks. Can you describe your understanding of the board's authority as compared to that of an individual board member?
The board acts collectively as a whole, and just like our system of government, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And so the majority have to weigh the needs of the district and the needs of the community, the taxpayers, and try to make a decision that's best to help our kids. Ultimately, that's the bottom line. Receive a quality education that will allow them to make a family sustainable.
Could I ask a follow-up to that?
Well, more specifically, what is the role and authority of an individual board member versus that of the board as a whole?
Well, that's a good question. I guess to bring their inherent abilities and understandings to the group, to be knowledgeable, to research any task that's before them, whether it's an issue of the entire board or a specific committee, to make sure that the best decisions are being made. So on an individual basis, to become as much an authority on what's been tasked to the individual to bring to the group to make a wise decision. Is that what you're asking?
More in a governance perspective, does an individual board member have authority to give direction to the administration and the staff, or is that the responsibility of the board as a whole?
As an individual?
Yeah.
I would think not. They have not individual authority. That, again, working collectively as a group, that's why there's a group, not an individual board member. I think that an individual wouldn't have that responsibility, or that right, but would have to work collectively with the rest of the board.
Okay.
Mr. Blevins, if I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow the same. I'm going to cut to the chase. You know this board is really direct.
Yes.
and I'm going to cut to the chase as well. A lot of the role of the board is to complement what the administration recommendations are. A lot of us come from non-educational fields. My cutting to the chase would be, how would you had an inside look behind the curtain for this for years. How would you help us balance their recommendation, and would you be able to put your own personal experience conflict? Would you be able to hear them openly and help us deliberate, or would you? I'm trying to see an individual versus a board approach.
No, I think that's a great question, a very good concern. Yeah, I throughout my whole life, I feel like I've been a great compromiser. There are things that Mrs. Taroso is here. Mrs. Taroso, good friend, great administrator. There are times that we disagree, you know, but we can have that discussion. But ultimately, the respect of the chain of command and also the responsibility of the group as a whole, I'm not. Like, if you're asking me if I would feel the need to exercise dictatorial power, absolutely not. But I think sharing a concern or a view that might be contradictory, but not privately, to have an open discussion about it, I think would be a prudent thing to do, just to make sure that all sides have been thought of and thought through.
Great. So, thank you.
Mr. Pantano?
We're going to ping pong a little bit here. I'm going to reword my question just a little bit. The question as stated is three objectives if appointed. I'm going to change that up a little bit because in my life and in my business, I'm very much a proponent of the philosophy that we don't get better telling each other how great we are. We get better looking for opportunities to improve. So I'm going to take this three objectives and twist it just a little bit and say, where, and I've read some of your questionnaires, and you had some background on that, but where are the opportunities for us to improve as a school district, as a district here? And I'll stick with the top three because that's what it says on my sheet. I don't want to get too much trouble.
This is a double-edged sword. You know, when you compare yourself to other people, I truly believe that we're either going to become conceited or we're going to become disappointed, and that comparison thing shouldn't occur. Now, having said that, when I worked at Southern, Dallas Town was always the benchmark of excellence. Like, this is what they're doing at Dallas Town. This is, you know, whether it was curriculum, whether it was staff, whether it was discipline, whatever the case may be. And I'm not hearing that quite as much. Dallas Town is still a leader, but I think that there are things that we need to do to make sure that we're doing the best that we can and not worry about that competitiveness, even though I just contradicted that. But at the same time, you know, we are so good. We have so much going for us, more than most of the district, that there's maybe room for a little bit more dialogue to make sure that we are absolutely the top of our game. I mean, Dr. Dyer has really done a phenomenal job with this year. Nothing but the deepest respect for this man and what he's done over the past 15 years. And I think that growth is going to continue under Josh's leadership. Just keep every option open, keep every door open, and explore every opportunity that we possibly have.
So without putting you on the spot, because I sat in that chair myself, just as a follow-up to that, can you list a couple of things? Not an indictment on current administration, because we're not talking about deficiencies. We're talking about areas where we have opportunities to grow.
Yes.
Can you tell me a couple of the areas where you think we have opportunities to grow?
And we're starting to move in that direction. When I came from Southern, I was so enamored with the fact that at the middle school we had this career fair. And I think that a 12 or 13 year old is not going to know what he wants to do the rest of his life, but at the same time, to be exposed more and more and more with career opportunities and the options of how to pursue your dreams and also pay for those dreams. I'll give you a realistic example, for instance. A family who lives two doors up from me, young man's graduating this year and he's pursuing welding. And he's going to school for welding. And my question, not to him, just in my heart, was why was he counseled to go to Votech to learn to weld so he could start welding as soon as he graduates instead of going into a situation where he has to take out loans to go back to school for something he could have at least laid a tremendous foundation for while he was still here. So I think getting these kids exposed to more and more possibilities in career choices, and also for those students who are going to college to sit down and have a realistic conversation about the finance of that, so that these kids, if it's really what they truly want, then they should be encouraged to go. But if they're not sure that's what they want, then other opportunities should be made available to them. But also, I think the financial end of career choices or career education need to be explored to a greater extent so that we don't have students who are starting college or who are getting out of college with tremendous debt and going to have to spend the next 20, 30 years paying that debt off. So is that, you know, that to me is a very important thing. Just making sure these kids are fighting a chance of making it to the state we should be.
Okay.
Dr.
Dyer is going to substitute for Mr. Noll.
Okay. If Mr. Noll were here, here is his question. Okay. Describe a major issue facing the school district and explain how you think the school district should address it. And I would say to you, be candid and honest.
Okay.
You've seen it as a citizen, you've seen it inside, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
Okay.
They want you to be honest.
All right. Infrastructurally, you and I recently spoken of this, that the school needs some more, enough said, that, you know, in the stadium, for instance, the safety issues. But that's not really your question. The question is with policy. I think that,
Well, but you are fitting it's an important thing. I mean, the board was presented, if I may just interject, a $35 million proposal for things that included the stadium. And so there are compelling needs here. So you're right. That is that's an issue.
Then let me elaborate on that. You take, for instance, and I know both the high school and middle school are very old buildings. And when we have guests or visitors come to our school, I don't work here anymore, to the school and going up the stairs, and some of the tread pieces are missing. I know it doesn't seem like much, but at the same time, it sends a message.
It does.
That it can be a little better. You know, our buildings are well maintained, and I think also I even put one of my responses. It was always heartwarming to talk with the custodians, the evening custodians, and how focused they were on the well-being of the kids. You know, it wasn't a job to them; it was truly something they felt a push for. So infrastructurally, I think that there's a lot here for a district that is phenomenal. It doesn't look, in some ways, phenomenal, just the appearance. As far as policy, I think that we are faced, the world is faced with growing mental health problems and the opioid problems and lack of family support. And there has to be it's a fine line and a slippery slope, but dealing with young people in a firm way to make sure that they understand there are consequences to their actions at the same time trying to help prepare them to get through difficult times. I think that there's a way to do that.
Thank you, we appreciate your honesty.
This is another more direct question to my prior follow-up. You and another board member have opposing views about a major issue that you both feel strongly about and that your position is right. When your position is not affirmed during a board vote, how will you set your emotions aside in order to work more cooperatively with this board member on other key issues?
Well, I just tell Steve he's wrong.
He's used to it.
The problem with that is Steve is never wrong.
I follow up. How do you feel about swearing?
I spiced up our show. I again go back to something I said earlier. I look at my whole life as a work of compromise. And I don't know, maybe Mark Young, I don't know if you know Mark Young. I'm a Republican, and Mark is a very left Democrat. And we had the pleasure of working on the same team for a couple of years. And I loved our conversations, you know, and we had very diametrically opposed views on just about everything. But we could have friendly conversations and then at times just walk away and say, that's a good compromise, or you know, I just can't see eye to eye. I don't get emotional about it. I think that you express your thoughts, your opinions, and you look for the middle ground. And again, especially in a situation like this, it's the needs of the many and the vote of the many that's going to make decisions. So
you think you can take it from the conversation to actually impacting the $100 million that we have to allocate a year? That when we have dollars, I mean, it's one thing to have the banter with people, but it's another thing when there's real dollars and it's real winners and losers.
I mean, if you're asking me taking it personally, that would never happen. It's something that I think I would make my thoughts, my feelings known, and again, accept the fact that, okay, I can disagree with this and go against that, but, you know, I'm not going to have a temper tantrum or you know, make enemies. I don't make enemies as well.
Great.
That's
okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Sue?
As you know, we have two main functions as a board. We hire the superintendent, we also do the budget. So the budget is tough. You know, we're going into a tough year with negotiations. Dr. Dyer said he gave us a $35 million proposal of things that need to be taken care of on the secondary campus. So when you are faced with some of the budgetary things that we're going to be faced with coming up, what would your stance be in regards to raising property taxes or doing other things, or not doing the improvements that need to be done?
That's a great question. Difficult to answer. I do, as you all are taxpayers here, and I think that the time maybe the community doesn't understand the quality of the things here. That having been said, I think it would depend, would always answer the first two questions in the heart of mine. You know, is this going to benefit the students? And it's certainly something we get asked. Is it going to benefit the majority of the students going forward? Those are the first two questions I'm always asking. But as far as cutting programs, if it's something that is going to affect a lot of students, I think that if it meant raising taxes, I would default to that. I mean, we're not, a school is so unlike another business. You know, we're not making Chevrolets here. We're not going to bring it back for a warranty work on the suspension. If we drop the ball here, it could have cataclysmic effects on an individual group of people. So I think everything has to be thought through and make sure that it's, we're dealing with human beings here. It's not business. It's a business dealing with human beings. And I think it has to fall back to the needs of these young people and not cutting things that are absolutely needed for them to be healthy, happy.
Thank you.
Can I have a follow-up to that question? With the, we're working this out as I sit here, so I apologize. With that said, the needs of the students should and are and should be forefront, but at the same time, this body is not representative of the student body, it's representative of the elected official, the taxpayer.
Yes.
And so there are people that are hurting as a result of taxes. So the answer that you gave was sort of student focused. How do you balance that against the responsibility that you have towards the non-students that are being represented by this body?
And that's an excellent question, and that's a hard question. I think that not knowing all the ins and outs, but and you hate to see people losing homes because there is tax forgiveness programs out there. I would have a difficult time, certainly, in any vote to raise taxes. And understand the fact that every mill that it's increased could be somebody losing their home. I understand that. And now, does the somebody forced to move, somebody lose their home? And this sounds so callous, I mean it to be. Is that a small price to pay if we could be helping a tremendous amount of students? I'm just thinking of drug rehabilitation programs, for instance, if that's something that has to go through the schools, and I'm just spitballing on it, that if we're going to help more young people start their lives and detrimentally hurt someone as far as their home is concerned, it would be horrible, and as a man of faith, that would be disconcerting, but yet, in our contemporary times, perhaps it's something that may be needed. I mean, I think that any time you raise taxes, everybody would be cognizant of that. But what are the alternatives right now? So I don't mean that to be a callous answer. That's just a general part of the answer.
Roger Ponder, certainly a struggle for all of us, but
yeah.
We're sitting closer than we normally do for a lot of years, and it's all about conflicts. For a lot of years, you were on the board, and you sat up, and you were taking notes for the association.
Yes, sir.
As Ms. Hiestam mentioned, this board's going to start negotiations in a short time here with the association. How do you have any potential conflicts, number one? Number two, how are you going to work through that? Because obviously, you know, you have a great reputation here, you have friends in the district, and you know, you didn't just wave goodbye to everybody when you walked out the door, I'm sure. So how are you going to work through that with?
That's a great question. And I think anything that I would answer to that regard would be hypothetical. Conflict of interest, yes, there will be. You're right. But to a degree, when I started teaching, I was making $10,600. And while it is a stressful job, and the demands on the job are becoming more and more difficult, a lot more arduous to complete the task of educating students. A couple of years ago, when the association voted for a pay freeze, I was not only supportive, but I thought maybe I should go a couple of years. Again, as a man of faith, I made it very comfortable. And I loved what I did. I loved working with students. And that was a substantial reward in and of itself. And also, to be honest with you, my wife's a therapist. And even when I was making 10-6, I didn't have to work over the summer. I did fun things like helping people model houses and stuff like that. But, so I've been blessed to have a comfortable life. And I think that even when we thought of the papers a few years ago, and I was supportive of somebody even longer, it didn't sit well with others, but it's something that I feel in my heart. But at the same time, I understand where we're at. Realistically, you're right, these are my friends, these are people that I've worked with for 12 years, and I don't know. I would hope that I'd have strength of character if the conflict of interest were to the point where I would just either recuse myself or abstain from things. I would hope that I would.
There are some instances where you're required by Pennsylvania state law to recuse yourself. And we'll have to talk about which of those would fit.
Okay. Right. Yeah. But I don't know if I can. It's hypothetical. I've given a lot about it over the past couple of weeks and talked to several people about it. And it's one of those things that just. And I would hope somebody too. I mean, I'm not an easy person to insult. But I would hope somebody would say, listen, wait a second. If you're answering that from association, I would hope that would be called in the line. So, sorry, it's not. Can't definitively put
it. It's fair because you really don't know until you're there. And like we all joke about the grocery store conversation, and our phone numbers are. I don't know if there's any other nine people that have their phone numbers on the website. So our home phone numbers.
Yeah.
you likely will get those calls and things. I guess that was the point of my question. Are you prepared for that and can handle that? So.
Okay. I'm wanting to just kind of follow up with that. Because you do still have ties, and as John said, you didn't walk out and just say goodbye to everyone. It sounds like you have given some thought to how you're going to deal with some of the, because we do deal with some tough situations when it comes to some personnel issues. So have you thought about how that's going to be with the friends, the current friendships that you have, how are you going to reconcile that? And especially too, with going through the contract, that it may get tough. So, have you thought about how that?
Yes, I have. And again, it's hypothetical, but I am no longer a teacher and moved on to my next phase of life. And if that's this, then I need to put this habit more firmly. I'm always in my teacher's heart, but I'm not practicing right now. So I have to keep pushing myself into the idea of wearing that.
Okay, good.
Our school district is committed to the career pathways model, which consists of 16 specific career pathways or clusters of related occupations that require different levels of education and training for our students. So as a board member, how do you envision enhancing student opportunities which better prepare all students for post-graduation career plans?
Exposure to as many career possibilities and people as possible. I'm going to fall back to my career fair, when the kids have a chance to sit down and talk to a welder, talk to somebody who's a doctor, or what have you, and especially when they're talking about the non-glamorous parts of their job, the amount of schooling, the amount of money that's required, or the amount of paperwork that they have to do. It gives them something else to think about. So I think it's just, you know, exposure. I think that that's, they're going to leave here someday and hope they're going to look back and say, wow, they did an awful lot to show me different things, different opportunities, and this is what I've chosen, and I'm happy. So I just hope we do everything that's possible for more people to expose these kids to different careers.
Are there any other questions that anyone would like to ask?
I have.
Yep, thank you.
Often when we're interviewing administrators, right before we make a decision or offer it, we always have what we call a full disclosure moment. We talk about what the job entails. And in administration, it's 24/7. And what we find on the board, this is a very engaged board that digs in deeply, asks excellent questions. They want answers with substance, you know, and accuracy and fidelity. So there's a lot of time. They put in a lot of hours. They're reading things that they have to accomplish, so they're informed. There are places to visit. They will often come with us when Dr. Bill and I go out to PTO meetings, for free, and whenever we have representation there. Events, musicals, a lot of things. So I guess the thing I wanted to say is there's a time commitment here, and we wanted to know how you felt about that. And so that there were no surprises if you come aboard, there will be expectations for that. So, any questions you have or comments about the time commitment?
No, I fully understand. And by the way, as somebody for 10 to 12 years, has done a great job. I really appreciate the time you put into this thing. I would like to, if I am selected to be here, I will say I do have a weakness as far as the elementary schools and the intermediate school, and I think it would be prudent to maybe spend some time there, just to build the leaders myself, the information that's going on there, and certainly they have or don't have enough to me. I do a lot of work, again, did a lot of work with the athletic department, the high school level, was the middle school, you can't understand what's going on there. But yes, I do understand that it requires a lot of work, a lot of time, and going back to my first point, I'm gainfully unemployed right now, so I have the time.
Well, and we would, if you come aboard, that's the board's decision, we would be very happy to help you with understanding the K-6 program. It's very exciting, and it's a great time because we are looking at Loganville Springfield and the building project there has been prototypical of some things that may occur in the elementary program in the future. So it would be a great time to come aboard.
I have a follow-up to that. So I feel like many of us have strengths, well, we all obviously have strengths and weaknesses, and where I may have weaknesses, some of these other people thankfully have strengths. You mentioned K-6 might be a weakness, and obviously the student center perspective that you have would be a strength. Can you talk a little bit about maybe any other strengths or weaknesses or committees that you think you could have a lot to contribute, and other places like me for finance that struggles a little bit? So I'm telling you what I'm mine, just to make you feel at home.
I feel like I'm very organized, in to the point at times where it drives my wife crazy. And I think that any task I would welcome, weaknesses like everybody else with. I mean, I love math, but it's all due respect to the Lord, subject to teach, there's no stories to it. Then you can't talk about number four chasing number three and make number seven. but I love that. And go to the
notes. That's odd.
I also, if I'm tasked to do something, and Steve and I had this conversation not that long ago, was put on a committee in church, and I didn't understand why I was put on that committee. I knew most of it, but I just didn't think it was tapping into my talents as well. But I will make it a point to do the best I can with what I've got.
Any other questions? Okay. Any comments from the audience that you would like the board to take into consideration before we deliver it? Okay. Now I think we're just going to go around and have people weigh in and what your thoughts are. And we're not voting yet, we're just deliberating. So, Mrs. Houston, you want to start us off?
I always love this part.
Yeah.
The good thing is, at least there's not someone else that you have to, those are always the fun ones that we deliberate with other ones in the room. Again, as Bill stated, we are pretty honest as a board and pretty straightforward. So I will tell you, one of the concerns I had when I saw, you know, that you had applied is the fact that you just retired. And how you were going to be able to handle the conflict, especially going into negotiations, the personnel things, a lot of things that we deal with will be directly, you know, you'll have direct knowledge of some of the things of the people that we're dealing with and stuff like that. So I was very interested in how, what your responses were for that. I appreciate you being honest. I think that you, it sounds like you're very aware that there's going to be some conflicts, but I think you're in the right mind of, you know, being able to separate your past. You know, like you said, you're not a teacher anymore. You're going into a new phase. So I do appreciate you, you know, explaining that a little better for me and making me feel a little more comfortable with that, the conflict that I think is going to, it will exist for you.
Well, if I thought sitting over there was awkward, now
I'm yeah.
The other side's a little bit different. So, thank you to all of you who sat on the other side when I was over there. I first would like to say I applaud you for stepping up and applying for this position. There aren't many people that have any kind of interest in sitting at this table out of all the people in our that serve the Dow Sound School District. And I don't think you have any more dedicated people than the people that are here. So thank you for applying. I really honestly, in reading all of the information, I just wanted to hear some things tonight about some more detail about where you stood on a few things. And I have to be honest, I didn't think I would be, but I'm a little conflicted at this point. And my main source of conflict is the question that I asked, because I personally think that is too high a price to pay. I do think that if you, someone who's been in the district for 40 years and is at risk for not being able to pay their property tax because we haven't been fiscally responsible, is too high a price to pay. And that's a very difficult position to take. Your passion for students and your passion for teaching is clear. And I have no doubt in my mind about that. At the end of the day, there's some very tough decisions that have to be made that don't go that way because it's too high a price to pay. And that conflict is also because we are representative of the taxpaying body. So that is what's going through my mind at this point. You know, if the push came to shove, if we had to be fiscally responsible, if we had to make some tough decisions, and this board, prior to my being here, had to make some tough decisions on some program cuts. And it's not easy, and that's usually when the boardroom is filled with 100 parents who have a problem with that. Any other time, there's just administrators in the boardroom. No one pays attention other than that. So, awkward, because I'm trying to verbalize and speak at the same time.
Well, he's not asking for a vote right now.
I know, there's no vote. Well, your passion, your...
I appreciate that, I totally agree with you. I understand, having been covering the board, because I understand that, I understand that that we don't absolutely, we're not on the exact same, we're not in the same lane, but we're on the same road. So I understand, I totally understand what you're saying. I'm not offended in any way, shape, or form. I totally understand what you're saying. It is a tough thing. It's a very tough thing. that you're right, somebody who's worked their life and has a home, realistically though, costs will only be going up in every regard, from electric supplies to the staff and so on. And raising taxes is inevitable, being fiscally prudent and looking for ways to save money here and there at some point. More money's going to have to be brought in to just cover expenses in a growing district. So I understand what you're saying. I didn't answer that with a callous heart. It sounds like a callous answer. You know, I understand that. There are a lot of people out there hurt. I totally understand that. And it's something that would weigh heavy on their mind. There's no question. And hopefully make a better decision. I understand where you're coming from.
No, as superintendent, I have to say it should be an unnecessary argument if we were fully funded. And that's where we're going to the PSBA board conference here. I think I've got five of you going. And there are some sessions up there, one in particular that talks about the fair funding suit that's going on. And eventually, that's going to get decided. And Dallas Town will be a winner by millions of dollars. So I'm hopeful that some things that have been, you've received some proposals recently and some things that are ahead, that let's hope that we don't need to have tax rates raised, that we get the funding that we should have been getting for years. So I would encourage you to attend those sessions, and hopefully we don't have them. But those are some of the toughest decisions here. One of the other things that's tough is when somebody doesn't toe the line. And the board, you know, has to hear about that, or we have to take action. That's another uncomfortable moment.
Cool. I'm gonna bring it back. It's awkward. This is a unique time. I'm gonna bring it back to our deliberations. Normally, when we have board turn them over, it's luck of the vote, and you have to work on team chemistry. I made the comment at a prior board meeting that we're really hitting our groove here. I really appreciate the team that's at the table. You can see by the work that we're doing, there's a lot of mutual respect. There is, but for a lot of our questions, and this was our one time to talk to you without a lot of follow-up. The questions were scripted, but because there's only one candidate, it's a unique situation where we can choose the right fit for here. So I think this is important. But then the other side of it is the same individual. He's really done nothing.
With us having only
the character,
seven of eight,
is, you see the way we all bring
majority
our own opinions to this.
So it doesn't have to be fun.
So we shouldn't have just another Kool-Aid drinker. I actually would like to have someone with strong opinions. And the only thing that I'm judging is, does he communicate them well? Will he respect our opinions? Can we arrive at a mutual board decision? And he's done nothing to demonstrate as an individual character or intelligence that he should be excluded. We all have ties. That was the hardest thing coming onto this board, to actually judge prior neighbors or prior people that, you know, your kids are associated with, and having to make the hard decision. I'm confident in my own character to make the right decision. Again, this individual has shown nothing that he couldn't make that same decision either. So as an individual, I think that's important. And I don't think, I'm moving forward, I'm comfortable right now. This man should not pay the penalty because no other person from the public decided to step forward. It does take a special individual. I can't thank you enough for doing this and to putting your name in there, just because all I'm trying to do is making sure that this body can continue to act with the character and respect that we've had over the last 8 years. And I see that you bring nothing to the table that would question him. So thank you.
Okay. Dory?
I was just going to say, when you got to me,
yeah.
that I really reflect what Mr. Lytle said. I don't necessarily need the candidate to agree exactly with everything I say, but I look at the candidate and say, is this somebody who I think is reasonable? Is this somebody who seems level-headed and somebody I can communicate with and work with? That's one thing I think is great about our board, is that we do have difficult conversations. We often don't agree, but we can, you know, at the end of the meeting, we can kind of drop that and shake hands and walk out and get behind whatever decision was ultimately made. And I think that you would be a good asset to that group. So what I wrote, I found you to be thoughtful, have strength and character. I like that you're concise. I like that a lot. You understand you understand the gravity of what we're doing. You understand it from a little bit of a different perspective. Like Mr. Lytle said, we all kind of have our roots and our hands in places. You know, I still have a kid in the district, so I'm concerned about those relationships that I have there and the people that might not be happy with decisions I make and take it out on my kids. So, you know, I appreciate the difficult line you have to walk, and some of us are still there in different ways as well. I think you're fair and level-headed, and you have a moral compass, so I'm supportive.
Steve.
Well, one thing, he is detail-oriented. And he would fit in great with me because I'm the opposite of that. But I guess I don't know how long I've known Scott. And he's the one that got me into doing some of these trips and helping him with the course he has. And, you know, I've gotten to know him over the years. And the big thing I can tell you is his heart's in the right place. And I don't think he would do anything to compromise the taxpayer, the students, or the association, or teachers, or down to the custodians. You know, it's always hard for me to put things into words. You know, I'm usually short and to the point, but I've never seen anything. I mean, anything he does, it's the student. He had the students in mind. Sort of to Tony's point, and I hope I don't make Scott mad or embarrass him, I can guarantee you he's done things over the years to benefit the students that would have cost the taxpayers dearly. That's all I'll say. I know his heart's in the right place. So.
John?
Well, it's hard to add, there's been a lot of good comments, but thank you for putting your name forward and going through this process, because Summers, I think it's easier to run than to sit in that chair. Echoing Summer Erica's, I think you have a good heart with good mutual respect, and there are a number of things that you said I agree with, a number of things that I said I disagree with, but I'll also tell you that I've had more breakfast and coffee meetings with people on this board I disagree with than the ones I do agree with, and that's a fact, because we're a board, like you said, also spoke to me when you said your person's on the opposite end of the political spectrum. I had a college roommate that works in the district, all remain unnamed, who was on the opposite end, and we still remain good friends. And so I think that's the kind of nature of this board. I mean, none of us agree with each other all the time. And, maybe we get downstairs and it looks like a happy family, but it's kind of like when you drive back to grandma's house, we're hitting each other in the car. but it is that way, and I think you would fit in well doing that. And maybe I'll have someone else talk about flying at some point.
I got over, as Mrs. Easton said, I was troubled by the fact that you're a lifelong educator, okay, coming into this, and what perspective, if, whether or not you would have a balanced perspective, okay. My wife, who spent her whole career in education, and I wouldn't want her on this school board. I'll get her to tell you. But that said, I think you've demonstrated that you can balance that, okay? And I've done a fair amount of reference checking on you, okay?
No,
not the people you put down, okay. But and the thing I keep hearing repeatedly is that Scott Weingart is a good man. Okay. And to me, that overcomes any issues that we would have, because I have confidence that at the end of the day, you'll do the right thing. So I'm going to be in support of your position on the board. So,
I skipped a step I should have done, and I apologize, but I should have asked you, are there any questions that you have for us or that you would like us to know that we didn't ask?
No, I have no questions. I do thank you for having me this evening, and also for the hard, thankless job that you're doing. You're doing for the Mayor's office. I'd like to go back to what's near and dear to my heart, my children. They were given a love of education. You would be popular without a hard work for it. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments before we vote? Okay, call the roll, please. By the way, this will be a yes, no vote, and since there's seven of us here tonight, we need four yes votes in order to elect him to the board. Okay.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mr. Knoll, or sorry, should I cross him off? Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Congratulations, you're unanimously approved.
Thank you very much, I appreciate it. I hope I don't let you down.
You won't. You won't. We will swear you in as an official member of the board at our next board meeting, which is next Thursday night. 24th of October.
He's got a conflict.
Yeah. So I have a lot.
And doctors Dyer and Dahl will be reaching out to you. You're not quite as green to this as some, like I was. Okay. But at first you'll feel like you're drinking from the fire hose, okay? Because there's a lot of information that they'll give regarding orientation of a new board member, and it takes a while until you feel that you're getting your arms around it.
Could I just explain a little bit about that?
So yeah. The board knows how this process works.
Right.
Our first piece to this will be to get you ready for the October 24th meeting, and I'm going to apologize. I'm not going to be there. And we have a baptism for our second grandson in Northern Illinois, and we're going out to help with a lot of family members, so I'm sorry. And fortunately, in all the years I've been here, I've missed maybe four meetings, and two of them have been in a row, and I'm sorry about that. The last one was not attended. But I wish I would be there for that. But my goal is to get you ready for that meeting. So right after this meeting, Mrs. Kirby and I will talk to you about a time that we can talk, and so that's the first goal. The second thing I would suggest is that if you have not already, we have a really great director's handbook that's on there, and allow you to get into that
on the website.
On the website. We can tell you where that is if you haven't already accessed it. And it's the kind of thing that, with your educational background, I know that you have questions and highlight and have notes, and we would use that as a springboard for the discussion. Now, we also have board elections coming up here in November. One of the candidates is sitting behind you. So once that is settled, then we will go formally into, and we are hoping that all works well, and then we will involve both of you in a series of orientation sessions. So the first goal is to get you ready for the 24th so that you have an understanding of what you may be voting on. What Mr. Blevins will tell you, and board leadership and other board members, is if you don't feel comfortable taking a vote on something, you can abstain. And I think most all of these members, I remember his first meeting, he was like, I don't know about this, I'm abstaining. He explained that, people accept that. So I want you to hear that in front of the whole board. Do not feel pressured to weigh on a situation that you have not adequately researched. If our job will be to at least give you some background so that it's not coming to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And then as much time as you need from me, you will get. Okay, and I have board members who call me, want a little bit more, second today, can you give me a call? You know, and I do that. That's a priority for me. Two big priorities. I answer principals before I answer anybody, because they're out there, and oftentimes they need the answer right away. We're dealing with student safety or staff safety or whatever. The second one I call back right away is the board member. because their job is so important. So that's the commitment on this end.
It took you 10 minutes today.
We were having our bosses stay at lunch. I was taking the ladies to look at them. And there are some things like that that I would want to get you up to date with, like our building projects, the proposal that we made the other night. I believe you were in attendance, Sarah, so you heard that. But anything like that that will help you be more informed. That is our goal for every one of these board members, is that you go into a meeting and you're prepared. Now, you will find the board leadership, which is Mr. Levins and Mr. Hartman, president and vice president. They work very closely with board members and will often vet questions or concerns or whatever and then bring them to me. Like, here's where the board is on this or whatever. And that helps me as superintendent. So when they reach out to you like that, it's sincere. They will want to know, where are you, what are you thinking? And they access that. There are a lot of conversations behind the scenes. Nothing illegal, it's not, but and nothing unethical, but it's to help. And I mean, it's what board members do. So there are these different dimensions that go on, and my role as superintendent is to help you with any of that. Be the board leadership to help you, you know, with things that would be pertinent to them. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know I've talked at you, but actually this is great for you to hear. This is how that operates. You have one employee, it's a superintendent, and I know that you will relish that. Seats in the boat's been taken. Talk about flip the seats.
Very nice.
But, and there are, to Mr. Pantano's point, there are places that the district needs to go. And we're having some pretty unvarnished conversations about that. And you'll be coming at a great time for that, because that's what Dr. Bell's and your staff and principals will be talking about. There are real needs here for us to remain in a premier state. So that's my full disclosure.
Thank you.
Okay, but our goal, as with any of these board members, is your success.
Josh, do you have any thoughts or comments?
I will simply say, and I was fortunate enough to hire Scott Bloomberg several years ago. I think that the comment he made, he's a gentleman, he's a man of integrity. I think he will serve the board well. Scott and I have had a heated conversation, and he's also able to come to a great consensus. I think a lot of perspective that is certainly welcome from a student perspective when we're making some challenging decisions moving forward. So I applaud your decision tonight, and I applaud Scott, and look forward to looking for him.
And just one more thing, if I may. There's a calendar of board events which you have in front of you.
Yes.
Now, when you enter this evening, you do not know whether you'll be the successful candidate or not. So if there are any conflicts that you have with this, let us know, Mr. Levins or I or Lisa, and we fully expect some of that, because you don't know our calendar. And I mean, I think every board member would understand that. So if there are things like, we would want them to be a priority in your life, of course, but should I understand that you can't have some
questions? I have one. Now, I will try to rearrange it, but it's my intention to start driving to California on the 3rd of November to get my son a car.
That's not a problem, because there's, I think under our understanding of the Pennsylvania law as it applies to conflicts of interest, okay, that November 4th meeting is going to be devoted entirely to discussions about the upcoming negotiations.
Okay.
Okay. And our understanding of your situation is that you would need to recuse yourself from that anyhow.
Okay.
As do Mr. Bensel and Mr. Hurt. Okay. So that's not an issue, because you can't come.
We can explain that to you. Okay. Yeah, I created a question for you.
Yes. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's good timing. Are there any other conflicts with the?
No,
it's on there. Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
Good deal. Well, congratulations again. Any final comments from any board members? Okay, meeting's adjourned.